Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, something very current at the moment in the swimming championships is this hullabaloo with Mac Horton making that stance against the Chinese swimmer, Sun Yang. He's obviously been suspended for 3 months with an accusation about performance-enhancing drugs. What's your take on all this, buddy? You've been an Olympian yourself and having been affected by drug cheats at the Olympics. What's your feeling about this whole scenario?
Yeah, well, I certainly... First thing I want to say is I'm supportive of athletes taking a stance in a way that they feel appropriate at the time against drug cheats. So I don't have an issue with Mac Horton doing what he did. I know he's had a lot of criticism and death threats and all sorts of weird and wonderful things that have happened. But I certainly would, I think athletes should have a voice and they should be prepared to stand up for what they believe. Now, we've all done things like, we've done different things in our life where we stood up for something and maybe later on we looked back and thought, maybe I could have done that differently. But, you know, he felt that that was appropriate for him and so be it. I certainly, to be fair and honest, I jumped. I thought, yeah, good on you, because I've always been anti-drugs, and it just annoys the hell out of me that athletes, you know, you're competing with or have against athletes who have done that. And you hope like hell that they will get caught and that they'll get a suspension and that will be a good thing. But maybe over time we've seen that that hasn't been the case. Maybe people get away with it more often than we would like. And interesting, when you start looking at facts or statistics, only like if you look at the number of drug tests done on Australian athletes, for example, there's thousands and thousands done. It's like only a very small percentage. We're talking like 1 to 1.5% of athletes who actually have any banned substances in their system. Now, if I use that information, I'm going to say it's a very small problem.
Yeah. Right? Well, what can you say?
And yet, we hear all the time that a lot of athletes are using performance-enhancing drugs. So the question is, are they? And if they are, and we get a lot of rumour and innuendo, and we get a lot of athletes who are saying, hey, I'm getting secondhand information, or this, I spoke to this person, and this is what I know. But the testing doesn't support that, does it? And so I wonder sometimes, we just don't know the depth of the problem.
There's been a lot of issues in regards to masking and a whole range of different things. But, you know, you look at sort of some of the famous ones that have happened. You know, you go back to Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis in, you know, 1988, and Ben Johnson got suspended. Then for years afterwards, there was accusation that that Carl Lewis was taking drugs as well. But, you know, there was no evidence to support that. So who knows? And then you get the situation with Lance Armstrong after he had his cancer, and he obviously used drugs with his miraculous comeback, but he kept denying it. But eventually he got caught out too. So especially at the top end, a lot of these people do get caught out in the end, don't they?
They do. And when, like, Lance Armstrong, I think, was a really big one, wasn't it? Because he was like an internationally known athlete, you know, household name, and like his feats in such a difficult event where, you know, it was just mind-boggling, wasn't it? And his story captured so many people, you know, to come back from cancer and win so many Tour de France. So I think that really hit people hard. And we saw that. I mean, that was just a massive story. But, you know, just I think the general public felt the pain of that as well, not just, you know, his team and his country and the sponsors, all those people that were associated with him. And I think that really hit home to a lot of people. That, and at the time, it showed me that, generally speaking, people say, no, that's not okay. It's not all right for you to be doing that in sport. We don't want it. We don't like it. And so, because I know there's been this debate maybe for the last decade at least, saying, well, maybe we should let athletes use them. I mean, if they're all using them, if that's what we want to believe, then why don't we just open it up and make it safer, and let's look at harm minimization and look after the athletes. But I think there's still enough there, especially in Australia, that people go, no. Like, we saw that with Essendon case. We saw it, I mean, it's not the same, but we saw it with the cricket, didn't we, with the getting caught cheating there. We've seen that Australians don't really appreciate when sports people are taking shortcuts and cheating.
Well, I think what Mac Horton did with his he refused to go on the podium. He wouldn't get his photograph taken. He wouldn't shake his hand. personally, I saw nothing wrong with that. I thought that was the Australian way. And when you listen to some of the all-time swimmers getting behind him, and the fact that a lot of people in the athletes' village applauded Matt when he came back, and then you look at the action of the English swimmer in the 200 metres where he also sort of took a little bit of a stance. So obviously, there must be, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. So there must be something the athletes know about this Sun Yang. And it wouldn't just be because he's unsavoury and people don't like him. There has to be something sort of more than that.
Well, I think there's certainly a feeling. And you know, back in my day, the Russian, like USSR, were the powerhouse. The East Germans were the powerhouse athletes. And we now know that, you know, back through the 70s, 80s and 90s, there was systematic doping of their athletes. Like, there's been a lot of evidence we've seen that that's all been uncovered. And certainly there's been that same concern with Chinese athletes, hasn't there, over the last two decades. And we saw maybe further back in swimming where a lot of their athletes were caught on doping charges, and there was evidence coming out, stories coming out, that there was systematic doping of, in that case, athletes, but swimming was one of the in the forefront. And so I think so therefore I know from my own time with athletes is that we would sort of think, oh, that group of athletes from that country are probably involved in systematic doping. And now you don't know for sure, but if that's what you feel and there's been evidence to support that and information to support that, then you're going to put all athletes from that group, all swimmers from that group are going to be under that cloud. And I think that's certainly part of this process, isn't it, that the Australian swimmers and other countries feel strongly that, obviously, from what we're seeing at the World Championships, that they feel that's going on in China and they're not happy with it.
Yeah, look, I suppose we're a little bit biased because we are Australian and we support Australian athletes. And in that regard, you know, I see Mac's sort of perspective more so than the Chinese perspective. But there is an interesting point in regards to different countries' cultures and how they respond to various different things. And whereas in one country, in Australia, we might not accept certain behaviours, whereas in China, maybe they need that behaviour to come to the top. You know, and I'm not just talking about drug take. I mean, just the whole attitude of the guy. Sort of, he's got this swagger in regards to, oh, look, you know, I don't really care. I'm competing. I'm allowed to compete, and doesn't show any respect. I mean, when he won the 200, he won because another athlete was suspended, and he was woofing it up. Whereas in Australia, we'd be a lot more modest about that because we were lucky to get it.
Yeah, I think I read about that today, and I thought, okay, is that a storm in a teacup? Because people, again, that's become the big story now, isn't it? So people want to keep that going, and I agree with what you're saying. Like, I don't think a lot of Australians out there go, okay, well, bad luck, mate. You were the best on the day, and you got done on a technicality, but, you know, leaving the blocks a bit early, so therefore that you broke the rules for it. But and so you get that, you probably go, yeah, bad luck, mate, and yourself be very pleased. I mean, you've obviously performed well. You've come in second, which now you've been elevated to first. So I certainly understand that. But I also think maybe we're all jumping on that bandwagon now. Yeah. because that's what people do. And so, again, it's just, I'd like to see, I know that these things, people love it. People love a drama. People love consequence. But I just feel sorry for the, you know, that we're not really focused on performance again, are we?
Well, you know, the thing is, I suppose, as a sporting nation, Australians, we want to win. We want to be the best we can be. And we, you know, if we don't win, you know, we say, oh, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. And, I mean, I know you just look at the one-day cricket in the World Cup, and England won that very controversial, you know, because there was a certain rule, the umpire didn't pick it up. But in retrospect, in looking at the way all the teams went in knowing the rules and that, you know, with the count back with the fours, how England won after it was tied, people sort of are going to find little issues with it. And I suppose because Australia lost England in the semi-final, we sort of feel a little bit of sympathy for New Zealand. So there's all these biases that we have in sport. So I suppose we're never going to be happy, are we? We're always going to sort of look for the excuses, et cetera, et cetera. So if we temper that and think very carefully through this, perhaps there is an answer there somewhere. But at the end of the day, he's been called a drug cheat, this swimmer, Sun Yang. He's been suspended for 3 months. And there's a whole lot of other rumours going about. So, like Lance Armstrong and like Ben Johnson, because he's high profile, if he is guilty, I'm sure he'll be caught out. But unfortunately, if he's innocent, no one's going to say sorry.
No, and it's interesting that, like, if I think back to the Essendon saga, that was systematic doping of athletes. And the Australian response to that was interesting because it was more about the club and the doctor and the people involved than the players. And I certainly felt sorry for the players, but also some part of me thinking from an athlete point of view is that I know that those players get a lot of education about drug use. We certainly did before that time, and I know ASADA worked very hard with all federations and groups to make sure that athletes know what's going on and think about what they're putting into their body and all those type of things. So I think, but it was interesting, people say, oh, we can't blame the players. And I would say, no, the players do have to take some responsibility because they knew that they were injecting something into their body, and you should know what that is, and you should be aware, is this right or not? And certainly the club were at fault there. But we do sometimes in Australia not like to blame the athlete and blame others. Oh, they're all doing it. We won't do it. Like, I imagine if you asked most people, do you think that Australian athletes, swimmers, whatever, are taking, oh, no, we wouldn't do that. And yet we assume that other people are doing it. And I think that's the hard part of this argument, because you've got to, I think we should base most of our discussion on evidence and facts. And of course, sometimes with the drug stuff, they're really hard to find. Unless an athlete gets caught, proven guilty, then should we be making assumptions or allegations?
You know, the other side of the coin is some of the drugs that are used for performance enhancing are not harmful, diuretics and a few of those types of issues. But, you know, I think back to the days when I used to do triathlons. And
you're not going to give us some, like, you're not going to tell us something we don't know, are you?
No. It's a simple thing, but I know that Saturday night for Mill, it was always carbo loading, always have spaghetti, bolognese, et cetera. But that was to improve performance. So we always look to improve our performances with things like that and having bananas and all these types of issues, which are, you know, completely legal, but everyone had access to it. So perhaps they need to sort of go through the drug testing to see what is performance enhancing and what is you know, what is available, what is harmful, et cetera, and maybe get a clearer understanding, because how many drugs were legal, you know, previously and then illegal now? I mean, I look at America with the baseball and the way they pumped themselves up with the drugs they were taking. It was all legal. Now it's illegal. So, you know, it's
certainly wider. I mean, it's this ongoing battle, isn't it? We saw, I think, Marion Jones back in the day. Like, there was that whole chemical lab,
yep,
creating drugs for athletes. And so, of course, and what happens as people are being tested, these drugs are showing up, but they're not, they're unknown or new drugs. And of course, people then, so wider then start to see those processes or products of those drugs in athletes' bloodstream. And then they start finding out for themselves, and that becomes on the ban list. And so there's no doubt that there is systematic stuff going on. And I think we've got to be, I mean, I've, you know, back in the day talking with people from ASADA, you know, those people work hard. They want to stamp out drug use. There's no, yep, they're passionate people. They want to do it. And, but maybe sometimes they're hamstrung by how much funding they get, how much access they get to athletes, all those things that go on. But so I certainly know that the people who want to try and clean up sport, but it's obviously not happening quick enough because we're still talking about it.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of problems in sport. I mean, drugs is one. Another one is rule changes. I mean, the World Cup, you know, they changed the rules this year for that. Even Wimbledon, they changed the rules. That changed the dynamic of that. You know, I mean, you look at Steve Bradbury back in the day when he won his gold medal, when everyone fell over. I mean, why wasn't there sort of a little bit of a situation where, oh, this guy caused a fall, you know, maybe rerun it without, you know, disqualify the other guy? I mean, these are rules they may change in the future, and that's what we've got to be wary of, you know, rule changes, which includes, you know, what you can take for drugs. We need to have a better system more consistent, so people are fully aware of every scenario.
Well, I think let's hope that these type of controversies now actually make people stop and look and listen, and the people who can have an impact on decision making work towards making good decisions.
Hear, hear. Well, we're going to have to call it a show now, Sean. So ends another Carlin Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.